Good morning, brothers and sisters. Have you shouted for joy yet? Let us shout for joy, because the Lord who has changed us, so we no longer belong to this world. We belong to Him, and the Lord creates us for these purposes initially. We are created for Him to be His darling love. Shall we shout for joy? Yay! We are sanctified to Him. The Lord Jesus said, we do not belong to this world, for He doesn't belong to this world. We belong to the Lord, so how do we belong to this world? Yet, there is the devil in this world. He will tempt us and blind our spiritual eyes. Hence, we do need the Lord to attract our hearts. We should enter into His chambers. Our minds are occupied by Him only. Then we can love Him wholeheartedly and be sanctified to Him. Brothers and sisters, I'd like to sing a hymn with you. It's in God's family hymnal, the 10th. Psalm 200, A Pure Heart to the Lord. But there's no English version, so we'll read the translation. Lord, keep my soul, body, spirit. Be sanctified to You wholeheartedly. Overcome the world, enemy and flesh, and joy into Your love. O Lord, draw me to enter into Your chamber. Occupy my spirit and my mind. Make me love You wholeheartedly. I am created for You to be Your darling love. Make me love You with a pure heart. Nothing I desire besides You. O Lord, I love You. My heart belongs to You only. Let me live for You faithfully. Follow You all my life. I hope you have time to draw near the Lord personally, to worship Him and come before Him. You can stop the recording and we'll read the Bible when you're done. May the Lord bless you. Brothers and sisters, we'll read in the letter to Romans, chapter 15, verse 14 to 33. I myself am satisfied about you, my brothers, that you yourselves are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge and able to instruct one another. But on some points I have written to you very boldly by way of reminder, because of the grace given me by God to be a minister of Christ Jesus to the Gentiles in the priestly service of the gospel of God, so that the offering of the Gentiles may be acceptable, sanctified by the Holy Spirit. In Christ Jesus, then, I have reason to be proud of my work for God, for I will not venture to speak of anything except what Christ has accomplished through me to bring the Gentiles to obedience, by word and deed, by the power of signs and wonders, by the power of the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem and all the way around Illyricum I have fulfilled the ministry of the gospel of Christ, and thus I make it my ambition to preach the gospel, not where Christ has already been named, lest I build on someone else's foundation. But as it is written, those who have never been told of Him will see, and those who have never been heard will understand. This is the reason why I have so often been hindered from coming to you. But now, since I no longer have any room for work in these regions, and since I have longed for many years to come to you, I hope to see you in passing as I go to spring, and to be helped on my journey there by you, once I have enjoyed your company for a while. At present, however, I'm going to Jerusalem, bringing aid to the saints. For Macedonia and Achaia have been pleased to make some contribution for the poor among the saints at Jerusalem, for they were pleased to do it, and indeed they owe it to them. For if the Gentiles have come to share in their spiritual blessings, they ought also to be of service to them in material blessings. When therefore I have completed these and have delivered to them what has been collected, I will leave for spring by way of you. I know that when I come to you, I will make in the fullness of blessing of Christ. I appeal to you, brothers, by our Lord Jesus Christ and by the love of the Spirit, to strive together with me in your prayers to God on my behalf, that I may be delivered from the unbelievers in Judea, and that my service for Jerusalem may be acceptable to the saints, so that by God's will I may come to you with joy and be refreshed in your company. May the God of peace be with you all. Amen. In the letter to Romans chapter 15 were to be divided into paragraphs. I would put verse 1 to verse 13 as the first session, and the second session as verse 14 to verse 33, which are the verses we have just read. Firstly, I hope brothers and sisters to take notice of one thing. As I have mentioned before, our understanding in reading the Bible is easily affected by segmentation of chapter, paragraph, or verse. We were grateful for those who divided the scripture into chapters and paragraphs. However, we should also point out that segmentation of chapter and paragraphs were not very accurate. Thus, we have to pay attention to the content of the chapter that we are reading. Is this chapter relevant to the last? Of course, what we need most is the Lord to teach us. Let us take chapters 15 as an example. In fact, this chapter shouldn't be separate from chapter 14, but joined as one, especially the first paragraph of chapter 15, which is from verse 1 to verse 13. It should be followed closely by the letter to Romans chapter 14. Paul was still exhorting the brothers and sisters in Rome in learning to accept one another, for what God desires is a house of love and unity. You can refer to my previous sharing on the letter to Romans chapter 14. At the beginning of the letter to Romans chapter 15, you will find that it is very similar to chapter 14 verse 1. It was also about the weakness. Those who are strong should bear the weaknesses of those who are not strong. Brothers and sisters in the house of God should support and encourage one another. We shall all stand firm, rather than put a stumbling block or a cause to fall in the way of a brother. Therefore, Paul advised us not to judge one another, but rather to walk according to the truth of love. Do you remember what I've shared with you in the letter to Romans chapter 14? Paul intended to bring brothers and sisters together, for he understood the will of God. He liked to build up the brothers and sisters and to establish a house after God's heart. I believe Paul also wanted his brothers and sisters to set their own goals in life. The direction of our lives is for God, and we live for the will of God. As we can see, there were two big directions of life in the beginning of chapter 15. First of all, we need to build up mutually and support for one another. Of course, we like the members of the body. We should learn to support one another and build up one another. The words of the Lord remind us that our lives and even our daily lives are inseparable from our brothers and sisters. Have you noticed? Not only you can't be without the Lord, but brothers and sisters as well. Have you experienced it as well? Then it is normal if it is the case. Abba embraces us closely in this fellowship of love. Brothers and sisters, not only our lives are boring without brothers and sisters, but there are a lot of spiritual deficiencies. Have you ever felt the lack of spirit without brothers and sisters? There is less enjoyment, less joy. It seems it is less closer to the Lord. Although you can enjoy the closeness to the Lord on your own, yet We can't miss out the time when we come before the Lord with brothers and sisters. It is an entirely different experience. God has special promises and His special presence among brothers and sisters when we gather together, which is irreplaceable when drawing near to the Lord personally. I have a lot of experiences of closeness of God with me greatly in the breadbreaking meetings, in large gatherings, in prayer, or during the worship with brothers and sisters. Therefore, the life teachings of Paul are so practical, which is to live among brothers and sisters. And Paul's second main direction of life was that he liked every brothers and sisters to live in harmony with one another, in accord with Christ Jesus, that together you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is written in the letter to Romans chapter 15, verse 5 and 6. This direction of life can be said to be more personal. It means that we should be like the Lord and in accord with the Lord Jesus Christ. What do we need to be like the Lord? Here it specifically mentioned the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. We should love the Father as the Lord does, to glorify the Father with one mind and with one mouth. Thus, brothers and sisters, we have a very, very important goal in life. That is to be like the Lord. Love Abba and be close to Him. We shall be fervent in glorifying Abba and God. You see, Paul mentioned glorifying God, praising the Lord and praising Him repeatedly from verse 6 to verse 12. So the two major goals of life that Paul mentioned are actually the meaning of our life. Personally speaking, it means to have the deepest relationship with God and being in love with Him and be close to Him. Generally speaking, the second direction, the goal and meaning of life is to live and establish the house of God. That is to love brothers and sisters and to establish the church of God, a church that is after God's heart. If we read the letters to Romans chapter 14 with the first part of chapter 15, verse 1 to 13 in summary, Paul liked to embrace the brothers and sisters in the house of God, the children of God together at many times and in many ways, the purpose of bringing them into the church, in order the brothers and sisters to pursue and learn to glorify God together. In addition, the Jews and Gentiles have the chance to know God, to live out the house of God. As a result, the word of God is expanded. It is a practical way to live out the house of God. In the meantime, the plan of God expands continually, whether Jews or Gentiles may know the Lord. I hope these words are the big influence among us, to bring us into the midst of brothers and sisters, to accept one another and love one another, so that the glorious church of the Lord and His bride is manifest. I have chosen in the letter of Romans chapter 15, verse 14 to verse 33 to read with you. In fact, we should be reading it together with the letter to Romans chapter 16, was about greeting. And Paul was giving an update on himself and his plans ahead in chapter 15. He entrusts himself to the brothers and sisters in Rome, for Paul liked them to remember him in prayers. As you can see, that Paul wrote a letter to Romans to the brothers and sisters in Rome. This paragraph up to chapter 16 was full of love and affection. You will feel the warmth as you read along. The main contents of the letter to Romans is completed in chapter 15, verse 13. For instance, chapter 1 to chapter 11 were about the gospel of justification by faith, which specifically mentioned this gospel is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. All are justified by God through faith. From chapter 5 to chapter 8 are about the hope and the glory of life justified by faith. Chapter 9 to chapter 11 were related to the Israelites, and the whole house will be saved in the end. The Lord Jesus Christ will come, and this is the hope of glory. Paul started with the gospel and went on to the church, which is the center of God's will. And from chapter 12 to chapter 15, verse 13, Paul taught brothers and sisters specifically how to live out the will of God, to dedicate themselves to God, to love brothers and sisters according to the principle of love. Brothers and sisters should accept one another and follow the example of our Lord Jesus Christ in one heart. Hence, we can give glory to God. Even the Gentiles will praise the Lord. I can say Paul had spoken all the essential matters in chapter 1 to chapter 15, verse 13, and the second half of chapter 15 and chapter 16 not important. No, it's not the case. Instead, I think this 1.5 chapter of the Bible is very crucial and interesting. In chapter 15, verse 14, Paul started to talk about himself again. I myself am satisfied about you, my brothers, that you yourselves are full of goodness. Verse 15, but on some points I've written to you very boldly. Verse 16, to be my minister of Christ Jesus to the Gentiles. Verse 17, in Christ Jesus, then I have reason to be proud of. If you keep on reading until verse 33, you will find that almost every verse has the word I. Even if the word I was absent, it was all about himself. Brothers and sisters, why did Paul talk about a lot of himself? Not that he was self-centered. He talked about himself and his way ahead. He entrusted all his burdens and needs to his brothers and sisters. He told them what was in his mind. He was eager to share his worries to them and wished they could pray for him. Paul showed his trust in brothers and sisters here, as he mentioned in verse 14. I myself am satisfied about you, my brothers, that you yourselves are full of goodness. How precious! Although most of the brothers and sisters in Rome were never met and didn't know them. If he did, he probably heard it from brothers and sisters. Yet he trusts them. This also showed the love of Paul for the brothers and sisters in Rome. There are 16 chapters in the letter to Romans. If you have to copy it once, it may take days to finish it. You may think that Paul liked to teach brothers and sisters in Rome with such a long letter. Nope, Paul was saying that the brothers and sisters in Rome were his family. Thus, at the end of the letter, he talked about his current situation and asked them to pray. It was a very typical family letter. I really like the content of this paragraph. As you can see, what a person Paul was. And truly, I like to be him. He said he had reason to be proud of Christ. Don't you think he was showing off? He said, for I will not venture to speak of anything except what Christ has accomplished through me. That means if all he liked to be proud of was what Christ had done through him. That is, he wanted to be proud of Christ. And he thought what he should be as a servant. It was his honor to be a priest of the gospel of God. He was chosen by God. Paul was not able to go to Rome. In fact, that was where he always wanted to go. Paul already said in chapter 1 that he really wanted to go to Rome to visit them. Yet, there were so many obstacles, many factors that prevent Paul from going to Rome to share with them. What was Paul busy with? Verse 19 and 20 mention, from Jerusalem and all the way around to Illyricum, I have fulfilled the ministry of the gospel of Christ. And thus I make it my ambition to preach the gospel, not where Christ has already been named, lest I build on someone else's foundation. In fact, not that Paul was lazy and didn't have anything to do. He was busy preaching the gospel of Christ everywhere and preaching in places where Christ had not already been named. That is, the place where the gospel had not yet been preached. What did you think of these places? Where not a lot of people went there, no one knew them, or they were hard to get to. I just admire Paul from the bottom of my heart. What a precious brother. Paul is our role model. He was a man with his heart for the world. Paul was in Corinth, which is currently in the Greek peninsula, when he wrote the letter to Romans. And we see that this bold-minded apostle was not satisfied with just caring about the church in the Greek peninsula. He longed to serve in the Italian peninsula in his heart. He missed the church in Rome. Even in verse 22, we saw that despite all the obstacles, he still missed the brothers and sisters in Rome in his heart. And this was not all. Paul further mentioned that after he arrived in Rome in verse 23, he longed to make the church in Rome as a base and then move forward. Paul mentioned in verse 23, "But now, since I no longer have any room for work in these regions, and since I have longed for many years to come to you, I hope to see you in passing as I go to spring." You see how strong Paul was. He was in Greek peninsula, yet he already thought about Rome in Italian peninsula. Still, he liked to move on and go further. Spring was mentioned here, where it was on Spanish peninsula now. Paul was such a man with the world in mind. Brothers and sisters, it's actually normal. For the Lord has sent us to the whole world. Each of us should have a vision for the world. We should not just care about our local church, not just concerned about the needs of the people in our local area. The whole world is our field. We have the responsibility to preach to all people, to establish churches after God's will in all lands. As we can see Paul, the apostle with great ambitions, yet we should see better that the church the Lord wants is the church in unity throughout the world. We love one another. We are connected. We have the fellowship. We can send co-workers for one another to assist one another. Why would God want the church to be divided and independent with no interaction, no contact, no communication, and no fellowship? The brothers and sisters will not come to God together. Why would God want such a church? Brothers and sisters, Paul mentioned even the churches of the Gentiles could use money to help the needs of the churches in Jerusalem. Paul said in verse 25 and verse 26, "I'm going to Jerusalem bringing aid to the saints, for Macedonia and Achaia have been pleased to make some contribution for the poor among the saints at Jerusalem." I find it quite interesting while reading these verses. Truly, the ministry of Paul was not a single ministry. He loved his brothers and sisters very much. Not just he loved the brothers and sisters in one city, he cared for brothers and sisters in almost every city. The church in Jerusalem was not found by him. Strictly speaking, it was the brothers and sisters in Jerusalem who sent Paul out, and he had a great concern for the needs of the brothers and sisters in Jerusalem. It could be the Gentile brothers and sisters trust Paul, so they entrust Paul with their money offerings to share with the poor among the saints at Jerusalem. Paul didn't serve only a few brothers and sisters, but all the brothers and sisters who believed in the Lord were his target of love. He cared not just the brothers and sisters in the churches he found, but the brothers and sisters in the churches of any city were his brothers and sisters. The churches in every city were his churches. I believe Paul was more than happy to help the church whatever he could to fulfill the will of God. Brothers and sisters, I hope that each of us will be willing to serve the Lord this way. Paul also told the brothers and sisters in Rome that he will come in the fullness of the blessing of Christ. Hence, he was full of hope. Yes, Paul was full of hope. But that doesn't mean there were no difficulties. Paul also needed the prayers from brothers and sisters. Paul said in verse 30, "I appeal to you, brothers, by our Lord Jesus Christ and by the love of the spirits, to strive forward with me in your prayers to God on my behalf." Paul told them what they need to pray for in verse 31 to verse 32. What kind of difficulties would he encounter? Even though a man who is as glorious as Paul, he needed the grace of God. He needs brothers and sisters to pray for him. We see that Paul didn't rely on his own experience and ability. He entirely entrusted in God. He needed God. He needed brothers and sisters. It's so precious that Paul could frankly talk about his difficulties, and he entrusts himself to the brothers and sisters in Rome freely. I'm just thinking, if I'm one of the brothers and sisters in the church in Rome, when someone who read this passage from Paul asked me to pray for him and talk about his needs and difficulties, I would feel so honored, and I will participate in the ministry of Paul. And it's a good reminder for me. It teaches me that ministry is not about men. It is about God, and it is about prayer. I also pray to the Lord to help me how to serve and serve as the heart and mind of Paul, and that I'm willing to do anything that is helpful to the plan of God. Brothers and sisters, I'm so grateful to God. I can have a part in God's will and plan. God has entrusted you and me to establish His house. The church He lights is the church of God. That's all for my sharing. I hope you will accept the commission before the Lord personally. He entrusted you to establish the church of God, and you're part of it. In this finishing time, let's rise up to fulfill the Lord's heart. Let us be still and have some time for you with the Lord personally, which is the most precious moment. May the Lord bless you.